flower has occurred. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning in the most precious name that we know, that name which you gave your Son, Jesus. And Father, we come to begin a new series which will be dealing with so many questions that we receive from around the world. Questions concerning the doctrine of Christ and questions concerning Christian living and how we deal with these bodies of death that we were dealt with. And knowing one day, Father, we'll receive a glorified body which will be commensurate with your holy word. And believing that until then, as Paul said, who can deliver me from the body of this death? But we thank God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, Father, with these thoughts in mind, we approach thee this morning in reverence and in humility, knowing that our answers must come from your word, for your thoughts are above our thoughts. And so, Lord, we commit our thinking to thy thinking. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. This morning I'd like to begin our new series with by opening 2 Timothy chapter 3 and reading from verse 16. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and that means it is God-breathed. And if it is God-breathed, then it came forth from the mouth of God. And that is why it's called the Word of God. And notice it is profitable, first of all, for doctrine. Notice Paul is telling us that the Scripture is first and foremost for doctrine. Doctrine is the most important thing because, as William Branham taught us, any man has not a doctrine, he has not a ministry. So if you have not a doctrine, you might as well just shut up and sit down, because you have nothing to say. And John said in 2 John 10, if there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, the doctrine of Christ, he tells us, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed, for he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds. So we see the importance of doctrine is so evident that if a man has not a doctrine or the doctrine of Christ that says that there's one God and he had a son, you're not even supposed to open your home to that person. Well then, what about a church and protecting the pulpit? In Malachi chapter 1 and verse 10, in the NIV translation we read, oh, that one of you would shut the temple door so that you would not light useless fires upon mine altar. I am not pleased with you, says the Lord Almighty, and I will accept no offering from your hands. So much then for the churches that invite ministers or anyone to come in to preach to the people that has not the doctrine of Christ. And just because they know somebody or knew somebody or had some experience, they open their pulpits to people. And I'm sorry, but the hour is late to be preaching experiences. It has got to come back to the doctrine. Now, I don't say this in lieu of some of the elders in this message who are giving testimonies, but I do say this in general. That God said, oh, that one of you would shut the temple doors so that you would not light useless fires upon mine altar. And William Branham also said from his sermon, Palm Worm, Locust, and Caterpillar, he said, a church without a doctrine is like a jellyfish. It has no backbone. So we've got to have a backbone in it, and not also backbone, but teeth also, because the church of God must eat the bread of life. So you see, doctrine is essential to the Christian experience and to the establishing of the church of God in every hour. And we see that it is the Scriptures, as the Apostle Paul declares, that our doctrine must be taught from, not experiences. Brother Branham told Brother Vail, we don't go by experience. We go by the Word of God. Therefore, before we begin this series on questions and answers, I would like to, I just want you to understand that If I cannot answer your questions from the Scriptures, then my answers are not worth giving you, because they should not be worth listening to. And that goes for visions and dreams as well. Brother Branham taught us that he had to check every vision that he received by the Word. And that means he checked them by the very Scriptures that Paul is referring to here in this text that we're reading from 2 Timothy chapter 3. And Paul said, first and foremost, the Scriptures are given for doctrine. That's the reason for we have Scriptures. Yes, William Branham, vindicated prophet of God, did not trust a vision to be from God until he had Scripture for it. Until he knew what that vision was about. And he showed us the example of Martin, that saint of God in the third age, and how Satan had appeared to him in a vision wearing the crown. And he said, worship me, Martin. I am Jesus. And that old saint looked at that vision, and the Scriptures just begin pouring into his mind. And that saint, and he said, the saints shall crown him. So he said, depart from me, Satan. And the vision disappeared. But wouldn't that be Pentecostal bait if that happened in this hour? In fact, that's exactly what Brother Branham said from Anointed Ones at the End Time. Brother Branham said, I want to show you how deceiving the devil is. One day he was sitting in his study. Up come a mighty angel, crowned with a crown on his head, golden shoes on, laced around his garments of gold. And he said, Martin, do you know me? And he said, I am your Lord and Savior. I am the one that saved you. Worship me, Martin. But that prophet, knowing there was a little something strange there, he kept looking at him. And he said, Martin, I am your Savior, Jesus Christ. Worship me. Don't you know me, Martin? And Martin kept looking at him, the Scriptures running through his mind. And he said, Satan, get away from me. He said, you got a crown on your head, and the Word of God says that his saints will crown him at the end of the age. Now, wouldn't that have been Pentecostal bait? Watch that word, brother. That's where it pays. Again, in the next quote from Brother Branham, using the illustration of Micaiah to show us how important it is to check even visions and dreams by the word. From Perseverance, he said, but you see, there was no faith there. He said, surely you ought to have another one somewhere. And he said, I got one, but I hate him. He said, he's always bawling me out. Oh, he said, let not the king say so. Go get him. He says, that's Micaiah, the son of Imlah. So you know what? The deacon board went over and met with him. And they said, now looky here, Micaiah. If you want to come back into this organization again, all you said against them, it'll be forgiven you if you'll just say the same thing that they say. You say the same thing, Micaiah. I like that man of God. He said, I'll say only what God puts in my mouth. So he got over before him and he says, give me tonight. And he must have prayed all night. Along about after daylight, he saw his vision. And when he saw the vision, he compared it with the Word. That's the way to check whether your vision's right or not. Not all kinds of visions is right. But if it's contrary to the Word, you leave that vision alone. But if it's with the Word, then you stay with it. And again from Brother Bram's sermon, Events Made Clear by Prophecy, preached in August of 1965, he said, now God knew that them men were so puffed up and so full of theology that they thought that they had everything right. They had never noticed the word for the hour, see? So God said, you will succeed, go on down. And when Micaiah said that, that made them prophesying under an evil spirit. They'd have jerked the plug out of the telephone or turned off the radio or done anything. They heard that coming against them, got up and they walked out. But look what happened now. Now Micaiah had to check his vision with the written word. Therefore he said, when I come, put that man in prison, give him waters of sorrow and bread of sorrow, and when I return, I'll deal with him. And he said, if you come back at all, God never spoke to me. That's when he knows his vision is exactly with every word for that hour. It was Ahab's time, brother, sister. This is the hour and the time of the calling out of Babylon. The evening lights are here. Walk in the light while it is light. Notice the believer saw the word manifested and believed it. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice, my word, my signs of the age, and false ones they'll not follow. And from his sermon, Spoken Word is the Original Seed, Brother Branham said, then check it with the word. See if it isn't the word, then it is deceiving. See? Now, if your theology is different from the Word, then it isn't right. See? Then what about things going on in this message? What about all the strange doctrines that are based on quotes, not based on Scripture? You know, theories about the tent and how it is going to be here and there and where it's going to be and when it's going to be and all these things. From his sermon, Greater Than Solomon is here, Brother Bram said, there's a thing to do, check it. Check these things that's going around today and see if it's the Lord. Check it with the Word. Even Brother Bram didn't fully comprehend many of the visions until God gave him the revelation of what that vision was. So how can we have... Look, if the vision wasn't given to you and I, leave it alone. Just leave it until it manifests itself. When it manifests itself, then you've got what Brother Branham said, and you've got what the Word of God says, then you've got that visualization or that manifestation, then you can compare. But if you're so immersed into this thing, you're going to get it wrong when it comes. Because you're building up an idea of how it's got to be. And if it doesn't come the way you think it's got to be, but it comes the way exactly He said it's going to be, you see, you find yourself missing it. That's exactly how they missed Jesus Christ. They took the Scriptures, all the Scriptures that spoke about how He'd come and rule and all these other things. But they didn't take the Scriptures that said He'd be despised and rejected, man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And so they missed Him because they didn't put it all together. If they would have just left the Scriptures, read the Scriptures concerning Messiah, not just sort out the ones that would come to their denomination, make them feel good, make them feel important, but take everything that was said about Him. Then when they saw those things, they saw this man that was despised and rejected, they would have said, well, wait, maybe there's something there. Even Brother Branham didn't fully comprehend many of the visions given to him until God revealed it to him. And you know, Brother Branham could not, I repeat, Brother Branham could not pray until certain things happened in the vision. When Brother Branham saw the vision coming to pass, he knew the interpretation of it. He had to wait for the hat to be on the chair. Until that hat was on the chair, he didn't know if this was the right situation or not. So when the hat was on the chair, the woman was sitting there, the man was sitting there, everybody was in the vision, everything was there, then he could go and pray, and he knew the vision would come to pass. From true vine and false vine, Brother Bram said, but God in His prophets and in His seers and so forth absolutely knows that these things as God will reveal it. There's many things He don't reveal to His servants. Look at old Jacob sitting on a stand, sitting up there and brought his boy's coat back. And you know he was a prophet, but they brought his coat back and they said, a beast killed your boy. That was wrong. He didn't know the difference for 40 years. A prophet of God. Look at Isaac sitting up there totally blind, and here come Jacob and said, I'm Esau. And he blessed him for Esau and a prophet. And look at this Elijah sitting there, and here come the Shunammite woman and fell down by him like that. And said, God's troubled her heart and kept it from me. And they don't know all things. They just know as God will let them know. They're not infallible people. The Bible said Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, his ups and downs and differences. They're not infallible people. That's what he said. And yet those that would preach these things are trying to make Brother Branham an infallible person. He's not infallible. The Word of God is infallible. Brother Branham even talked about how that God had told him to do a certain thing. God told him, he said, go to Africa first and then go to India. And when Brother Branham went to India and went to India first, and then when he was in Portugal, the angel of the Lord, he said he was getting ready, he was very sick and he was getting ready to go into the restroom, and the angel of the Lord stood in his way and said, I told you to go to Africa first. But the vision showed that he went to India first. In Brother Branham's own words, he said, "You see, I failed God, and the vision showed I would fail God, even though God told me," because he said, "God told me to go to Africa first, then to India. And I went to India first," and he said, "and I'm expecting to go to Africa." Now, I'm not calling Brother Branham a failure. He called himself a failure. He said he failed God, but the vision showed that he would. Talk about a strange one. Does that take away from "Thus saith the Lord"? Absolutely not. It just showed his humanity. When Brother Branham went to pray and the angel of the Lord said, "No, you go back and call that tax man or that lawyer." Because Brother Branham said, "Tell him I'm outside the door. I'm outside. Or I'm gone." And he wasn't gone. And his wife felt bad about telling this lie for him. And when Brother Branham went to pray for the sick, he couldn't pray for the sick. He was a man! And all this talk about tent ministry and all this other stuff, it makes Brother Branham more than a man. It deifies him. Now, I'm not saying that there's not going to be a tent ministry. I'm not going to say that there's not a resurrection ministry. It's not my vision. But when God gives a prophet a vision, many of the visions that they had, they didn't know what they meant. You think Isaiah knew when the words came forth, "A child, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and his name shall be called the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father"? Do you think Isaiah knew when he said, "A virgin shall conceive," what that meant? Many of the things the prophet said were for an age beyond them. They didn't know what would come to pass. They just spoke as God led them to speak. But people want to make the prophet or even the pastor sometimes a person that is not supposed to be human. And that's not according to God's word to do that. We are all human beings. And Brother Branham said that God thinks no more of you preachers than he thinks of the drunk that got saved an hour ago. God thinks of us all the same. If it wasn't for the blood of Jesus Christ, we'd all be lost. Even Jesus could only do what his Father showed him to do. No more and no less. It's got to come back to God's Word. From blind Bartimaeus. "And his servant ran and met her, and he said, 'All is well.'" Well, the baby was dead, her husband frantic. "But she said, 'All is well.'" Why? She knew God was in his servant, the prophet. She knew that she could hear from God, and she wanted to know why her baby had been taken. So she runs up close, and Elijah looks at her again, and he said, "Her heart is full of gloom, and God has hid it from me." You know, there's a wonderful thing. God don't tell his prophets everything. He just tells them what he wants them to know. Not everything. They can't do nothing in themselves. Just what God shows them, that's what they do. Could you imagine Isaac sitting blind and blessing Jacob instead of Esau? Could you imagine Jacob holding Joseph's coat for 40 years, bloody, thinking that an animal killed it and being a prophet? Proves God just reveals to his prophets that what he wants them to know, nothing else. Prophets are not infallible people. Prophets are not angels. They are men. Can you imagine the Son of God asking why God had forsaken him? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? He didn't have all the answers. So he cried out to God for answers. Why do you think he prayed so fervently until he sweated blood? He wanted an answer, but finally he just surrendered himself to his Father's will. And as we go through these questions and answers, I don't have all the answers. But where there's a question, God has an answer in his holy word. If we could just surrender our will to his will, our words to his word, our thoughts to his thinking. From Christ revealed in his own word, he said, "Prophets did not always understand what they were writing or what they were saying, or they should in no wise have said it, or they would have in no wise have said it, if they could have understood it. See? So if the prophets didn't always understand their own visions, then how is it that everyone is trying to interpret Brother Branham's visions for us? And didn't the Lord tell Brother Branham to say nothing about the third pole? And yet we have brothers holding third pole conventions and preaching series on the third pole. What are they preaching about if the prophet said nothing about it? And what can they say about that William Branham hadn't said? If he was told by God not to say anything about it, he said it's been identified. And that's it. But he said, I must say nothing about it lest the devil get a hold of it and do great damage. And the devil has done great damage because people have turned down the shout. They've turned down the voice of, they've turned down the doctrine of Christ. They've turned down the appearing versus the coming. They've turned down the presence. They've turned down Brother Branham's doctrine because they're looking down the road for something else to happen. That's done great damage. Looking down the road, and they run over the little children because they're looking too far down the road. Look down your driveway before you look down the road. From five functions of time, Brother Branham, now the prophets prophesied things, and they didn't know what they were talking about. They just said them. They didn't understand. Daniel said he couldn't understand, but he wrote it out because it wasn't for his day. The angel told him to close up the book until the time of the end. Many would run to and fro and knowledge would increase. And at that time, he'd stand in his lot and at the end of time. And all these things would take place and he didn't understand it. Many of the prophets in writing did not know what they were writing. They just wrote it down because it was inspiration. You see, concerning William Branham returning in the resurrection, I have no problem with that. I believe that. Concerning a resurrection ministry of 40 to 50 days, I have no problem with that either because it happened in the Alpha, so it must repeat in the Omega. But to say where and when and for how long, you had better be very careful, brother, or you'll be caught adding to or taking from God's Word. You know, I'm not interested in what Brother Branham told people in private. I'm interested in what he said on tape. That's what I'm responsible for. They're responsible for what Brother Branham told them. I'm responsible for what Brother Branham told me on the tapes. I'm not responsible for what Paul told somebody and it comes out in some maybe some Catholic encyclopedia or whatever. I'm responsible for what God told Paul in and what Paul wrote in these words. I don't care about the Dead Sea Scrolls and all these little things that cause doubts in men's minds. I only care about this inspired Word of God. That's all I'm responsible for. And people many times take the word of a prophet or even a vision that a prophet had and make more out of it than it was intended to be made. That is why Brother Branham had to answer questions himself about a rumor that got started about moving to Arizona if you were to make the rapture. From Questions and Answers, Conduct, Order, and Doctrine, paragraph 131, preached in August 23rd, 1964 in the morning. Brother Branham said, let's see what this is. Brother Branham, is it commonly believed by many that follow your message that you are the Messiah of this day? Isn't that so? No, sir. Plainly tell us, Brother Branham, you seem to hesitate in making yourself known. And we know that with such a ministry as God give you, you should be identified in the Scripture somewhere. Number two, you told us your purpose of going to Arizona the first time. You told us why, and it came to pass. But you did not tell us why you went back again. Well, in the first place, I am not a Messiah. See? Messiah is Jesus Christ, but we are Messiahettes. Every one of us. Messiah means anointed one. And in Him dwelt the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In me just dwells part of His Spirit, the same as dwells with you. So for those people that think that the fullness of the Godhead was indwelling Brother Branham bodily, it wasn't. He had a gift. God showed him things. And when God didn't show him things, it was tough on him. Just like it's tough on you and I. God doesn't show us everything. That's when faith takes over. He said, I've been given a gift to know little things and foresee things that makes me just still your brother. See, I am no Messiah. I am your brother. Just a shepherd of the flock. And if I told you I was Messiah, I'd be a liar. And I don't want to be a liar. Now, why did I go to Arizona the first time? You understand that? I went in the name of the Lord because I was sent there by a vision. I returned the second time for a purpose, but just let it alone. I know what I went for, but I can't tell everything. And when you and the devil don't know, can't get it out of my heart. And if I speak it out, then he can't get that. But he can't get it when it's in my heart. If I say, wait till it come to pass, just remember, hold this tape. I went to Arizona for a purpose. Please bear with me, see? Just do what I tell you to do, see? Just do as I say do, see? Brother Branham, I have some questions I wish to ask you. I have heard people say that you have advised people to sell their... Maybe I better leave that one alone too. Let's see. Well, it's already time to quit. We may get this after dinner, but I'll answer this one or try my best. I didn't know. It's just handed to me. See, Billy brought me a handful just here, there at the door. See, I have heard people say that you have advised people to sell all their homes and follow you to Arizona, or they would not be part of the rapture. Is this true? That's a lie. See, Or should we sell our homes? Or did you even say this? No, sir. I did not say it. If anything, I advise people not to do it. I was reading about Martin Luther here not long ago, not comparing ourselves with that. But this is the Reformation just the same as that was. And the question was, the historians, they said, it's a marvelous thing to think that Martin Luther could protest the Catholic Church and get by with it. That was a wonderful thing. But said, the most wonderful thing about Martin Luther wasn't that. How that he could hold his head up, but how he could hold his head above all the fanaticism that followed his meetings and still stay true to the Word. His calling, see? No, sir, don't put your own. Any man or woman that puts anything to what I say, don't believe what I say. They don't. Now, Brother Branham, are we missing out or something? These people claim to believe every word that you say to be true, but they don't. They don't believe it. Their own actions prove they don't. A minister came to me the other day and said, Brother Branham, they're getting the awfulest cult there you ever seen. Said each one of them, each morning, they go out and they said they ain't going to work. It's too close to the rapture. They're not going to work. Well, that just shows you that they don't even understand. See? Right. This tape's going down there. So, yes, sir, you ought to take a lesson from the ant, the Bible says. If they don't work, they don't eat. So that's just exactly right. Here, just picked up another one of these. And if you listen to this tape, you'll find that several people all ask the same question about moving to Arizona. And so you see how misunderstandings come. Brother Branham says something and then somebody says, did you know what he meant by that? And so they begin, you know, just like the serpent did. Well, didn't God say that we shouldn't eat? He said, but you know what he meant by that? You see how slick the devil is. Brings confusion. Because these people are not ordained. Look, why are there so many misunderstandings concerning this message? Because the people, not all the people, many of the people are not ordained to receive the message. They are attracted by the supernatural that took place, but they were blinded to the message, which is the doctrine that he taught. Why? Because they're not ordained to see it. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 10, and the disciples came and they said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he said unto them, because it is given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it's not given. For whosoever hath, and that Greek word for hath is echo. So whosoever is made in such a way as to be able to give back my word the same way that I said it, to him shall be given more. and he shall have more abundance. Now, why would he have more abundance? Because an echo gives it again and again and again and again, over and over and over again. And each time it goes in an echo, it stimulates again and again. It's like electricity. Each spark stimulates. Because an echo gives it over and over and over again. You don't receive it just once, but time and time and time again. And it gets richer and more clear each and every time that you repeat it. But whosoever hath not. Again, this word hath was translated from the Greek word echo. But this time it's speaking of those who are not made in such a way as to be able to reflect back the word. It says, from him shall be taken away even that which he thinks that he is echoing. Oh, yes. Brother Vail said, they've got it, but they don't got it. They can say the right words. They can talk about a token and the token. They can talk the words. But just look at their life and you can tell they don't have it. They're not living it. It's not part of it. It's not a reality to them. It's not life. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because they seeing, see not, and hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and shall not perceive. Most things that go on in this message is nothing but pure stinking politics. In the churches I'm talking about. People vie for positions and they try to get in the so-called inner circles. Hogwash. God don't have inner circles. He has children. Well, if I can get in the right circle, maybe that'll elevate me and I'll become important. Who cares if you're important? All I care about is getting saved and out of here, getting a body change, going home. Look, if you're going to follow God, you're going to have to buck the system. You're going to have to walk contrary to the majority, to the masses. You're going to have to walk as an individual. Elijah said, oh God, he said, I'm the only one. And God said, no, Elijah, you don't understand. There are 7,000 out there. He didn't understand. There's many things prophets don't understand. Many, many more that I don't understand. And that you don't understand. You just talk to Brother Vail sometime, he'll say, boy, there's just so many things I just don't understand. I can't understand. Brother Bram apparently said these things to these brothers. I don't doubt that what he said to those brothers, but he said, I just can't see it in Scripture. I just can't see these things. I've got to have Scripture for it. And that's your answer. Don't just go chasing off after these things. You know, brother come to me the other day and we're talking, and I won't say names, but anyway, and he's talking about these things as though they're just new and they're fresh. And I said, brother, I heard the same old things 30 years ago. 30 years ago! And they're still saying the same old stuff 30 years later. And you ask them about the Godhead, they haven't a clue. You talk to them about the presence of the Lord. It's not important. It's the presence of William Branham that's important to them. And that's pretty sad. And that's an indictment against a misunderstanding of what the message is all about. The message wasn't God send a prophet, God send a prophet. That's what the Pentecostals said. Oh, God send a prophet, God send a prophet. The prophet's sitting there eating breakfast with them. It's God send us your Son. Take us to meet Him in the air. Let's get it over with. Bring on the resurrection. A change of the body. But first of all, Lord, help me to come to know myself as your Son, that I might follow in the role of my older brother Jesus, that I might not have my own will, but Thy will be done. No doctrine but your doctrine. No actions but what you show me to do. Nothing to say but what you've said in your word. Complete obedience. They asked me overseas, what will it be like? The manifestation of the sons of God. And I say, what was it like for the Son of God. What manifested him as a Son of God, the Son of God? Was it the miracles? Balaam had miracles. Jannes and Jambres had miracles. Oral Roberts had miracles. Paul Cain had miracles. False anointed ones had miracles. Then what was it that manifested Jesus as the Son of God? It says, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things that he suffered. He said, it's written in the volume of the book, I have come to do thy will, O God. God is waiting on us to humble down and to become obedient children. Obedient sons and daughters of God. So we're talking about an inability to hear and understand. He said, therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. How many of these people sat and watched the supernatural take place, God Himself manifesting in miracles, discernment, and all these tremendous things, and crossed arms and crossed eyes, and just everything being made perfect. And a man can't do that. The man sprained his ankle so bad on a hunting trip that his foot swelled up and there was nothing he could do about it. The brother said, well, why don't you just lay your hands on yourself, Brother Brown, pray for yourself. He said, the gift isn't for me. It's for you. When Brother Brown lay there dying in the car, Billy Paul said, Dad, why don't you lay your hands on yourself? He said, the gift isn't for me. How's Mita doing? Well, Dad, she's dead. Lay my hands on her. Take my hand. He had to take it out from being wrapped up in the steering wheel. Place my hand on her. The gift wasn't for him. He didn't know everything. He only knew what God showed him. And we should only know what God shows us. Because if you know something God didn't show you, it's wrong. It's your own idea. Now, I'm not mad at you. I'm just kind of laying out the word. Yeah. They seeing shall not see, and hearing they shall not hear, neither do they understand, and in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. So we're talking about an inability to hear and understand or perceive. That is why you can talk to them about the presence of Christ and the difference between the appearing and the coming, and you can show them actual definitive statements, factual statements that Brother Branham used in defining his teaching on the Godhead, and they still don't get it. Because it's just... and it's not just a few of them. It's many of them. As Brother Branham said from Godhead Explained, he said, now many of you listening to this tape would say Brother Branham is a oneness. I am not. I think you're both wrong, both oneness and Trinity, not to be different, but it's always the middle of the road. But he said, many of you listening to this would say Brother Branham is a oneness. Well, let me tell you something. Who are the many that listen to this? They're message believers. And they don't even have it straight what the prophet taught, because they're not interested in what he taught. They're not interested in the doctrine. They're only interested in the manna. They're only interested in the fishes and loaves. They followed Jesus, the 5,000, because they wanted fishes and loaves. And Jesus said, look, you're not interested in what I've got to say. You're only interested in feeding your face. You're only interested in the miracles. You're only interested in the supernatural. But you're not interested in the doctrine. So many who listen to the tapes believe Brother Branham is a oneness, just like he said they would. He said they would misunderstand it. But it's not because the prophet did not make himself clear, but because they chose not to listen because they had made up their minds. Matthew 13, verse 15, for this people's heart, that's their understanding, is waxed gross. And their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed. So we're dealing with a willful ignorance here. Lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. But what are these people doing with the things they see? The prophets desire to sit under Brother Jesus. They desire to sit under Brother Jesus' ministry, knowing it would come one day. And those prophets would have sat. They would have listened. They would have been students. To be faithfully taught means you're faithful to shut up and listen when there's one who's faithfully teaching. That's our job. We have a vindicated prophet who came to teach. They don't want the teaching. They want the miracles. They want. Brother Branham said that the miracles is only the wrappings on the loaf. He said, you don't eat the wrappings. You eat the loaf. The wrappings is to attract your attention to the bread of life. But they weren't interested in the spiritual bread. They only wanted the manna. From looking under the unseen, he says, I say this with respect, but I say it to sink in. I had more understanding and better fellowship with a bunch of African witch doctors than I did with that group of ministers that morning. They give me consideration to the Word of God and they ask questions. And for that I could give them the hope that laid within me, for the hope of eternal life. But these ministers had no time for it all. Just quickly, as soon as you'd say something, out they'd go. And so that's the way it is. They got their mind made up. They just stay so long, and that's all that they want to know. And if it's one word disagreeing with any petty thing that they believe in, they cannot stay and listen through it. That's the reason they couldn't believe Jesus Christ at His first advent. That's the reason they'd miss Him in the second. They miss Him each time. They always have. When He's revealed Himself in Moses, He revealed Himself in Noah, He revealed Himself in Elijah and all the prophets, and they missed it each time. Jesus said, which one of your fathers hasn't put the prophets in the tomb out there that they're garnishing now? That's true. It's always been true. It's true yet today. And yet in the midst of all this, we're commanded to look. Look at Him, all the ends of the world. Now look, I respect those brothers for holding what Brother Branham told them. But that was told to them. They have to sort it out. But it wasn't told to you, and it wasn't told to me. So leave it alone. Jesus walked past 300 people needing healing. And He walked past, didn't get involved with 300 people that needed healing. Because there was one that God showed Him to go and pray for. There's many things we don't understand. Brother Branham even said about eternal hell, he said, I left it on the shelf until God revealed it to me. So let's leave these things on the shelf until God brings them. How are you going to know? Because God said, Brother Branham said, God interprets His Word by bringing it to pass. And when God brings it to pass, you'll know if you got an open mind to it. Now, looking unto Jesus, Brother Ram says, I say this with respect, but I say it to say... Oh, we read that. From Church Age Book, Chapter 9. The latest see in Church Age, page 78. He says, you are blind and naked. Now, this is really disparate. How can anyone be blind and naked and not know it? Yet it says that they are blind and naked and can't perceive it. The answer is they are spiritually blind and spiritually naked. You remember when Elisha in Gehazi was surrounded by the army of the Syrians? You recall that Elisha smote them blind by the power of God? Yet their eyes were wide open, and they could see where they were going. The blindness was peculiar in that they could see certain things, but other certain things, such as Elisha and the servant and the camp of Israel, they could not see. What this army could see did not avail for them. What they did not see brought on their captivity. Now, what does this mean to us? It means exactly what it meant back there in the earthly ministry of Jesus. He tried to teach them truth, but they wouldn't listen to it. John 9, verse 40 to 41, "And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, Are we blind also? And Jesus said unto them, If you were blind, you should have no sin. But now you say, We see, therefore your sin remaineth." The attitude of this age is exactly what it was then. People have it all. They know it all. They cannot be taught. If a point of truth from the Word comes up and a man tries to explain his view to one with an opposing view, the listener is not at all listening that he might learn, but is listening only to refute what is being said. I want to ask a fair question. Can Scripture fight Scripture? Does the Bible contradict the Bible? Can there be two doctrines of truth in the Word that say the opposite or oppose the other? No, it cannot be so. Yet how many of God's people have their eyes open to the truth? Not even 1%, as far as I know, have learned that all Scripture is given by God and all is profitable for doctrine, reproof and correction, etc. If all Scripture is thusly given, then every verse will dovetail if given a chance. But how many believe in predestination unto election and reprobation unto destruction? Those who don't, will they listen? No, they will not listen. Yet both are in the Word and nothing will change it. But to learn about it and reconcile the truth of those doctrines with other truths that seem to oppose it, they will not take the time. But they stop their ears and gnash their teeth and they lose out. And at the end of this age, a prophet will come, but they will be blind to all that he is doing and saying. They are so sure that they're right, and in their blindness, they will lose it all. The people saying, "Well, Brother Vail believes these men's testimony, every word of it." Does he? Has he said it himself? I'm sorry, but I've talked to Brother Vail. And I asked him, I said, "Brother Vail, I don't understand that. These men come around, and they've got their testimonies of what Brother Branham told them, and yet these men deny the doctrine. They have not walked in it. How can you turn down the shout and receive the voice?" And he said, "Well, Brian," he said, "there's going to be many, many people." Let me find the right words, he said. He said, "There's going to be many surprises at that time." If Brother Vail preaches again, he told me he's going to preach and clear up all these misunderstandings of what's going on with these testimonies. You see, you've got to take everything back to the Scripture. Now, I don't say Brother Branham can't have an airplane in the resurrection, but what does he need it for? Brother Branham thought the tent would be before the resurrection. That's why he needed some transportation. He even talked about having vans and all these things purchased. And a brother, a very rich brother, had donated. He said he'd donate $600,000 for the tent and all this equipment to be able to transport the tent. But if you're in a glorified body and travel like a thought, what do you need any operations for? What do you need any? Brother Branham didn't say it was a tent. He said it looked like a tent, but he said it looked also like an auditorium. How are you going to move an auditorium around the world with an airplane? And he said, "I'd like to have the tent 6 weeks here and 6 weeks there and 6 weeks here and 6 weeks there. And if you add up all the times, it's about 11 months. And if there's 40 to 50 days in the Alpha ministry, the Alpha resurrection ministry of Jesus Christ." "I'd like to do it. I'd like to see Joseph preaching. I'd like to see Billy Paul preaching. Just because you like something doesn't make it so. Well, I like that young man. Think he'd make a fine son-in-law. Does that make it God's will? No, it doesn't. It means you like him. It has nothing to do with God's will. There's many things we don't understand. And I am a human being like you are human beings. There's many things I just can't figure out. But I know one thing I can figure out. We had a vindicated prophet in this hour. He led us to the correct God and His Son, to the correct doctrine. And we understand because we had a teaching ministry in this hour that taught us that there's an appearing before the coming, that God Himself comes before the Son, just like God came to Abraham before the promised Son arrived. And it brings solace to me. It brings rest and peace, knowing that when God looks at me, He doesn't see me. He sees the blood of His Son, Jesus. And I have peace in that. And I believe I can go right to the River Jordan, cross over, and not have a problem because I've accepted the token. I've applied the token in my life. And I'm washed by the blood of the Lamb. And you know that I've nailed them with that statement overseas, and they still find fault and will not stop to re-examine their wrong beliefs concerning the Godhead and presence. But look, it's not my business whether one believes or not. That's God's business. My commission is to give it, and then my job's done. Brother Vail told me years ago, he said, a messenger, he said his job was just to ride up to the castle. He said he would get the message from the king. He'd ride up to the castle, and then he would throw the message over the wall, and then he rode off. His job's done. It's not his job to stay there and debate it with them. It's not his job to take and open it up and shove their nose in it. And by the sword, force them to say that they believe it like Muhammad did. No, our ministry is to give them the word, reflect it in our life, and leave the results up to God. One waters, one sows, the other waters, but it's God that gives the increase. But that's God's business. My commission is to give it, and then my job's done. And if they are elect, then their job is just beginning. Because I don't go to the churches as a general rule. I go to the preachers. And then if they are open and receive it, then they go to the people, their people. But let's face it, many things in the Word of God are hard to understand. That is why it takes a revelation from God, which means that it is a personal thing that God is doing for you when you do see it. And many of the visions that a prophet receives from God are not even understood by the prophet, much less the people, until God reveals it to them by bringing it to pass. How much of the Word of God do we see in this hour? Because we know that Alpha is Omega. So when we read the Scripture and we see what took place in that hour, we see the spirits out here manifesting the same things in this hour, we say, oh, I know what that spirit is. Those are false brethren that crept in unawares or whatever. Because I see it in Paul's day. From ashamed of him, Brother Branson, my point was this. When you know that you're trying to do what's right, the first thing is, if you feel led to do anything, then check it with the Word and see if it's right with the Word, and then let nothing stop you. I don't care how many wheels the devil throws in the way, you just move right over the top of them. I told my wife and I told Brother Wood when I got here and some friends that I met yesterday that I've had about 5 years here that I hardly knowed what to do. It's been a nervous time. Picture yourself in his shoes. You've got people all around the world depending on you for something new every time you come to the pulpit. The pressure, the constant pressure that's on your shoulders. They did it with Brother Branham. They did it with Brother Vail. And it's a very wearing thing, let me tell you. You think you have it tough. Here is a prophet of God who was dependent upon God to give him a vision, and first he had to check it with the Word. And then just to receive the vision, he had to wait on God for that vision. You can't produce your own visions. They're sovereignly given. Brother Bram continues, see, he said, the revival itself among the churches has died. Everyone knows that. You feel it in this tabernacle. You feel it everywhere. There is a thump, a dead feeling. There's just something that isn't right. It's because the revival enthusiasm has gone away from the people. Go into the churches, you'll see them sitting there and the pastor stumbling around for a message and something another. And the first thing you know, he he turned it off onto some kind of a party that they're going to have. Or something, it seems to be a dead thump everywhere. Again, from when their eyes were open, he said, and you take anything that's really way out in the phenomenal like that, always check it with the Word. And if the Word promised it, then it's only God rising on the scene again. That's the way every promise is. And from influence, he said, you try to do something that's a little contrary to your doctrine, and you say, oh, nonsense. Check it with the Word. If it's the Word, believe it. If it's not, then leave it alone. God will vindicate His Word. I don't have to go around preaching about a tent, a tent, a tent, a tent, a tent. An airplane. This and that. If that's what God has, it'll manifest itself and I'll receive it when it comes. Otherwise, I could be spending thousands of hours trying to fix an airplane that wasn't even meant to be. It was a hope, so. No more than Brother Branham hoped that Joseph would pick up the Bible. No more than Brother Branham hoped that Billy Paul would be preacher of the Word. It was a hope. We don't base our salvation on a hope. We base it on, thus saith the Lord. From what shall I do with Jesus? He said, how the church ought to be checking it again and again and again and again. We're waiting for His coming. We're waiting for the takeoff. We better check it with the Word, not what somebody said. Be sure that you know yourself as a personal experience with Christ. Check it again and again and again. Why? He's got the blood of men upon His hands. He better check. And from Revelation chapter 4, throne of mercy. Every vision of the Lord, that's what I say. If the visions we have today is not exactly Bible visions, then they're wrong. If they reflect or any reflection that shows God anything but what He always was, it's a wrong revelation. The whole church is built upon Matthew 17. So you see, we must go to the Word for our answers. And in this series, we're beginning concerning questions and answers. That's exactly what we plan to do. Now, Paul said the Scripture was given for doctrine, and he said, for reproof. Notice, doctrine first, then for reproof. Now, the word was translated from for reproof was a word that was also means evidence. So, not reproof as though you're being bawled out, but proof as evidence. The Scripture is given for doctrine and evidence or vindication that that doctrine is right. In the book of Hebrews, the same word is used in verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. Notice it is the evidence. And so we see that all Scripture is given for doctrine and evidence. And then he says, and it's for correction. And of course, that is important because the scriptural doctrine is given for the evidence. It is hoped that you will be corrected by the doctrine. And you will if there's any honesty in your heart. And it is also given for instruction in righteousness. That means all Scripture is to be used to instruct you in right wiseness, or how to be rightly wise. Why? He says, for the reason that the man of God may be perfect, that means mature and finished off in your Christian character, and thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So we see that the intent is not just for yourself, but that God may use you as a fit vessel for His own plans and purposes. Now, in getting back to why people allow themselves to misunderstand the scriptural doctrinal truths, it is because of their own pride. From the fifth seal, Brother Ram said, the wise of the world is trying in their wisdom to find Him. They only climb away from Him in doing so. From God in simplicity, many miss Him by the way that He reveals Himself. Now, man has their own ideas of what God ought to be and what God is going to do. And as I have made the old statement many times, that man still remains man. Man is always giving God praise for what he did and always looking forward to what he will do and ignoring what he's doing. See? And from Revelation chapter 1. How did they miss Him? Because they were looking for something else. And He'd done the sign of Messiah and they wouldn't hear it. He was a prophet, Moses said. And Moses said, the Lord your God will raise up a prophet like unto me, and it'll come to pass if they will not hear this prophet, they'll be cut off from the midst of the people. He was a prophet on earth. Now, because He was what? The faithful witness of God's Word. Amen. He was God's Word made manifest. St. John, the first chapter. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. He was the true and faithful witness to God's eternal Word. He was the Word, was God's Word. And being the Word, He was a prophet. for the Word of God flowed through him. He'd say only the things, I can do nothing within myself but what the Father shows me to do. Not me that doeth the works, but the Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. I and my Father are one. My Father's in me, said Jesus, the man, the tabernacle. And from God hiding himself in simplicity, he said, you know, God is so great, he hides himself in simplicity. And then reveals himself in the same thing he hides himself in. And God is so great that he can make himself simple. That's what makes him great. So many miss him in the simplicity, simple ways that he hides himself. Now we know that that man cannot do this. Man cannot make himself great enough to be simple, see? Now what makes God so great is because he can be so simple. And God does not reveal himself in greatness as we call greatness. And in God in simplicity, again, he says, many miss him by the way that he reveals himself, for he is so great, yet he hides himself in simplicity to make himself known to the least. So as we approach this series, and I don't know, it could be just one or two sermons, it could be 2 years like the other series have been. But all I say is this, that we must take everything, every question we have, whether ministers come on the scene, don't come on the scene. As I was talking the other day, and Brother Vail is not interested in all these peripheral doctrines. He's interested in one thing, and that's getting ready to go home. We shouldn't be interested in anything that would be contrary to the doctrine of Christ, because John said, if any man brings any other doctrine than that doctrine, don't even listen to him, don't partake with him, or you'll be partaking of his evil deeds. Put it on the shelf. If God says something to you in private through his prophet, that's fine. That's good for you. Brother Brown told certain people they could remarry again. Brother Brown did. Told certain people they could remarry again. He didn't say it for everybody. Unless God said it to you, you got to stick with what he said on the tapes. I know there's a lot of mysterious things. There's times Brother Brown said certain things Brother Vail was witness to. Just he scratch his head and say, you know, I know nothing about it. I can't figure it out. But God, look, sometimes God allows things to happen for a purpose. Billy Paul's own testimony, he said, Brother Branham told one couple not to use contraceptives. He told another one, go ahead and do it. Billy Paul said, Dad, why did you give those people just the opposite instruction? He said, because they were going to do it anyway. God told Balaam not to go. Then when Balaam decided he's going to go, God said, go ahead. Oh, hey, now God tells me I can do it. Go ahead. But the dumbass had more revelation and more insight than Balaam had. Because he saw that angel with that sword. I wasn't calling Balaam a dumbass. I was calling his donkey a dumbass. The donkey had more insight into the supernatural than Balaam had. And he saw the angel standing there with his sword out drawn. And he tried to avoid him. God told a prophet to go do a certain thing and come back a certain way. And on his way back, he met another prophet who said, wait a minute, I'm a prophet also of the Lord. God told me to have you come by my house. Well, he came by his house because he thought, well, maybe God changed his mind. Went by that to that other prophet's house, and at the dinner table that prophet rose up and said, because you didn't hearken to the voice of God. I don't remember if it was a bear or a lion will devour him on the way home, and that's what happened. God took that man off the scene because he didn't listen. God doesn't change his mind about his word. That's our absolute. That's our anchor. And that's the message. Let's bow our heads in prayer. The gracious Father, we thank you for your word. And as we approach the questions that are coming to us over the internet through the many people and the questions that will come from the brethren here. Father, we just pray that you would help us, Lord, to in humility and reverence, Father, to take those questions, and no questions are stupid. No questions are not worthy of an answer. And so, Father, we just pray that you'd help us to have the right spirit within us as we approach each and every question, because that question's important to the person who's asking it. And so, Lord, we just commit all of these questions that we have already received and those which will be coming. We commit them all into thy keeping. Help us, Father, to only go back to your word. In Jesus' name we pray, because we know that your word has all the answers. You said, my thoughts are not your thoughts, so let us not take our thoughts, Lord, but let us take your thoughts. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and give thee peace, and give thee peace, and give thee peace forever. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord make his face shine toward you and give thee peace, and give thee peace, and give thee peace forever. Amen. Let's all have all the mothers stand at this time. And the rest of us, if we can just give them an applause because of their diligence to take care of their children, to watch over them. Like Brother Bram said, there's something, you may be seated now. I just want to thank you all for, you have a role that is very, very difficult to do, and just very thankful for it. I'm not a real big fan of having a special day for something. I believe every day is Mother's Day, as Brother Branham said. Every day should be Mother's Day. And you shouldn't be just nice to your mother on Mother's Day. You should be nice to your mother every day. So, God be with you all, and till we meet again. Do we know that song? Till we meet. Till we meet. Till we meet. Till we meet at Jesus' feet. Till we meet. Till we meet. God be with you till we meet again. Amen.